I'm John Batchelor with Professor Barry Strauss, and his new book, Jews versus Romans. We now come to the moment itself, the revolutionary moment, as the professor reports. The Flavians, that's Vespasian, his son Titus, and his son Domitian, they make a decision to destroy, not unlike Carthage, destroy. And what did the Romans do about to the city and to the people, Barry?
Yeah. So the Romans destroy Jerusalem, and they destroy the temple. If we believe Josephus, Titus himself did not want the temple to be destroyed. Neither did his chief of staff, Tiberius Julius Alexander. But nonetheless, things got out of hand, and the temple was destroyed. There are those skeptics who would say nonsense. Titus wanted the temple to be destroyed because he knew it was the center of the revolt, which it was. And so the Romans both destroy the city and they destroy the temple, a destruction which to this very day is mourned by Jews, and the wish that the temple be rebuilt is part of standard Jewish liturgy every day. So an enormously significant decision.
If you visit Jerusalem, you go to what is called the Wailing Wall, which is part of the mountain that Herod carved out of the ground, made it square-topped. They threw the big stones over the side and cracked the stones below them. And you can see it in some instances, so there's been a lot of repair. The Roman soldiers were ferocious. And they also sold, they killed so many and they sold so many into slavery. I get the impression, Professor, there was nobody left in the city. They wanted it empty.
Yeah, they wanted the city empty. We think that afterwards there were some who came back as quote-unquote squatters, either in the city or very close to the city, some Jews, that is. But by and large, the city was a ruin, and it was empty. As you say, they had done this to Carthage, to Corinth, to a few other places. This is the ultima ratio of Roman imperialism, the extreme logic. If the enemy can't be reasoned with, then he must be destroyed.
And what we now have is a Jerusalem that's been destroyed, and there's a triumph in Rome about it. But yes. What I learned from the professor's telling, and Josephus helps us understand, this is the only triumph ever about reconquering a part of the empire. And what do they do to, they have the triumph, but how do they change the governance in Jerusalem? How do they do that?
So, previously, Judea had been what we might call a quasi-province. It wasn't a self-standing province. It was ruled by not by a governor, but by official of a lesser rank, not someone of senatorial rank, but someone of what the Romans called equestrian rank, the second highest group in Roman society, the B team, if you will, not the A team. And there were no legions there. There were just so-called auxiliary troops, locals who were hired by the Romans. These were non-Jews. There were other ethnic groups in Judea, so they represented those. After the revolt was put down, Judea now gets a formal governor and a legion centered in or quartered in the ruins of Jerusalem. The 10th Legion is now in Jerusalem. So the Romans aren't fooling around. They're taking security in the province much more seriously than they had.
4 years later, the governor of Jerusalem and the region marches on Masada. We've all heard the story of Masada. It's an amazing geographical place, but it is not vital to the understanding of the destruction of Jerusalem. It's well away from Jerusalem.
Yes.
And it's destroyed as well, and that's the suicide pact that is made by the defenders of Masada. But I learned from you, Barry, that there's archaeological evidence that the suicide wasn't complete. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, the archaeology is controversial, what the archaeologists mean. When it was first excavated several decades ago, the archaeologists thought they had found evidence of the suicide pact, the lottery tickets, as it were, that were used. Nowadays, we don't really think that's what these pieces of pottery represent. Scholars disagree as to whether the story in Josephus, who's the only version of the suicide we get, is accurate or not. I myself tend to believe it. We do know, even in Josephus, that there were a handful who survived, who went and hid and were able to survive and tell the tale to the Romans when they arrived the next day.
The Josephus was not on the scene for Masada. He was on the scene for the destruction of Jerusalem.
He was, and he even tried to negotiate with the rebels in Jerusalem, who nearly killed him as a result of this. But he was not on the scene. It's not clear that he ever went up to the top of Masada.
Right.
He knew where it was, but whether he ever went up is unlikely.
I recommend everyone, when they're in the Holy Land, to go to Masada. It's amazing. It was created by nature, and it's amazing. The book is Jews versus Rome. No, they're not done rebelling. When we come back, Barry Strauss is the author of the Hoover Institution and Emeritus Cornell University. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.